everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The Albright Knox Gallery, Buffalo, New York, hanging this inspired Josh Allen piece entitled Selfie with Bill's Mafia and Jägermeister. This is art.
Every week, this guy.
I want to bid on that piece of art.
Better than that.
They should be hanging a Thurman Thomas jersey up there.
I prefer Bruce Smith, but okay.
Oh, hello, guys. How we doing? Of all the headlines that don't say much, Zion Williamson, fully weight-bearing, but no return date set, says a lot. How does that strike you, and what are you doing with that information, Frank Isola?
You know what? I didn't say 6 to 8 weeks. The Pelican said 6 to 8 weeks, and here we are. And now I'm supposed to be excited about the fact that he's just standing there shooting the ball. He's not even practicing yet. So the Pelicans right now, 13-game losing streak. Zion, all he's doing is shooting in the corner. You know what's going to happen? The same thing that happened to Ben Simmons and Blake Griffin. They didn't play their first year in the NBA. That's where we're headed with Zion.
You think New Orleans is regretting saying 6 to 8 weeks initially?
I think they absolutely are, especially where they sit right now, 13-game losing streak. Think about this. They could be sitting on a 16-game losing streak on Christmas Day when they play the Denver Nuggets.
On national television. Yeah, exactly. Kevin Blackstone, full weight bearing was said in that headline. How does that strike you?
And that's a lot of weight to bear by that young man. You know what? We were talking about him coming back for Christmas. That was going to be the big gift of the NBA to all the NBA basketball fans out there, and it's not going to happen. And Frank's absolutely right. You know what? No shame in this game. Sit this guy for this season. The examples are out there. They didn't hurt Blake Griffin, didn't hurt Ben Simmons. But to play this guy with whatever is ailing him, that he can't get healthy, is only going to hurt you going into the future. Too much invested into Zion Williamson to have him play like he is now.
Mm-hmm. So that's two panelists who say shut him down. Israel Gutierrez, are you a third?
No, I'm canceling this cancel culture here because I'm tired of it. Like, Blake Griffin had a second knee surgery the January of that year. He needed to sit out the season. If Zion Williamson's, I mean, his recovery is going along slower than we expected, of course, and I'm with Frank. You know, the Pelicans talked earlier about not putting too much pressure, and even put out that 6 to 8 weeks is clearly putting pressure on him because now he is not ready. But if you look right at, you know, at him and say, okay, if it takes another month for him to be ready, you've got half an NBA season there. And it's not just about protecting him. It's about getting his body ready. He obviously has not played in this many games in a season. He's never even played in, what, 40, 45 games in a season. So having done that for the second half of the season, even though it's a team that's not going anywhere, there's still a lot of value to that. So it's strictly about getting Zion healthy. How they manage whether when until he gets there, well, that's the Pelicans doing. And so far, probably not.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. Bill Plaschke, where do you come down on Zion Williamson?
Well, so you're talking about it being slower than his recovery is slower than people thought. They're celebrating the word weight bearing. Suddenly, the word weight bearing is what they're talking about.
That's
insane. That was stark. That knocked me over. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's just now weight bearing. He's not playing this year. What are we kidding ourselves? The team is terrible. There's no reason for him to go out there. And again, you know, because he only played 1 year in college. He's still just a kid. This is for the long term. This is for the long game. let him sit out. Again, and I thought he was going to come back Christmas. I thought he was going to come back in January. But now they're saying they're throwing a party because he's weight-bearing. Mm-hmm. No, he's not coming back.
You want to go back at Bill, please?
If there is some sort of condition where you're saying, oh, if he plays now, it will hurt him in the long term. If it's a Greg Oden situation,
how do you know?
Of course you should be concerned. If it's just a torn meniscus for a guy that's, you know, a little bigger, takes a little longer to heal, then he should play this season. You shouldn't just set him down for fear.
Everything you said true. How do you know? If history has taught us anything, we don't know anything about anybody's body at any moment. Frank, are you on some level more concerned about Zion Williamson's health going forward now than you were 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago?
No, I think they're just being extra cautious. But the pressure that's going to be on the Pelicans will be this. Remember, all the fanfare about getting him, then you traded away Anthony Davis. They've already come out and said he's not going to play back-to-back. I wonder how much pressure could be on them in late February and March, especially just to play him in home games. I get it, not back-to-back. You're not going to want him to play, you know, maybe three games in a week. But at least
nothing is going right for this franchise right now. How they lost their 13th in a row last night. Look at this. This is 3 seconds left. No shot clock violation called on the floor on Spencer Dinwiddie's shot. And play was not reviewed because play never stopped. But everyone can see that did not touch the rim. KB, how bad did the refs blow this?
They blew it again. Seems like we talk about this every week. They make some sort of mistake, and that seemed to be clear as day, something that everybody could make a ruling on. You know what? We at some point have to get to the point in this season where we stop saying, how did the refs blow it, and why can't this be reviewed? Here is yet another example.
Yeah, no, I didn't get off the refs case. This is about somebody in New Jersey needs to push a button to be watching this, to buzz the refs, to stop this. The league has got to have oversight, especially in the last 2 minutes of a game. That's insane.
Isola's upset that somebody in New Jersey has to go to work. That's what he's upset about.
All four broadcasting teams, Nets TV, Nets Radio, Pelicans TV, Pelicans Radio, they all said live, that's a 24-second violation. How can they see it and three referees not notice?
Right,
that's
right. But you're shaking your head. No, New Jersey cannot get involved. I got these no-show jobs. I got these no-work jobs. All right?
Right. Don't blame New Jersey.
All right, we're moving on. Cole Anthony, torn meniscus. Arthroscopic surgery Monday. That's typically a 4 to 6 week recovery. Here we go again, talking about other people's bodies when we know nothing about other people's bodies. If he were to come back in February, there would be plenty of time before March for UNC to make a run in the ACC NCAA. However, from Anthony's perspective, projected top five pick, where should his thoughts be via coming back now or getting prepped for the draft? Blackstone, you want to start?
Well, if you say 4 to 6 weeks for his injury, and sometimes that meniscus can be 2 to 3 months, but if you're saying 4 to 6, then, yeah, you can bring him back gradually. But once again, I'm Cole Anthony. I played for a professional basketball player. I've been watching this. I'm in a league in which we play against Duke, which had a guy by the name of Kyrie Irving who had a serious injury, played just 11 games at Duke, still came out, and was one of the number one guys despite the injuries that he suffered. So I think I would look at that as a
I don't even think. Does Kevin have to go as far back as Kyrie Irving? Doesn't he have Zion Williamson last year, Kevin? We just talked about him 5 seconds ago. Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah, and what happened with Zion, Tony? He came back, and he was the absolute sure thing number one pick. Cole Anthony is not. Look at Cole Anthony's shooting numbers. He's had great games, but he's shooting sub 40% right now. He's projected as a top five pick, but how many times have we seen players be projected as a top five pick early in the NBA season and fall out of it? I think he needs to show more on the basketball court still to prove his position. Now, if he's okay dropping some, okay, you don't have to play. I don't think his father, by the way, would be somebody who would recommend that he sit out.
You're speaking of Greg Anthony,
I would say, hey, you need to prove it.
Yeah. Phil Plaschke, how about you?
What I want to know is he weight-bearing? When will he be weight-bearing?
That's the question. We get the point.
That's what everybody cares about. But you know what? The guy's played 9 games, averaged 19 points. I've seen enough. I think when you're unpaid like he is, when you have a chance to make a lot of money, take care of yourself, don't play the rest of the year.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, and he also has his dad, Greg Anthony. That's a pretty good resource. Unlike most parents, he's got a lot of connections to the league. He'll know exactly where his son's going to go. I think even if he doesn't play this year, I think he's going to come out. He'll still be a top 15 pick, and it'll work out for Cole Anthony.
Speaking of weight-bearing, sometimes working with you guys is bearing a weight that I can't handle anymore. We'll move on. The Pro Bowl roster reel reveal. All right. Look at all the list of names who will probably find a way to not play in 2 months. And then new names will be needed to unsnub the snubs. But start with the fact that there are 12 Ravens on this list, tied for the second most ever. Bill, too many, not enough, or just right?
Just right. The most exciting team in football, the best team in football. I want to see more Ravens. They got 6 on offense, 4 on defense, 2 on special teams. They did it perfectly. What I want to know is, how is Dak Prescott not on this team and Aaron Rodgers is? Can I just
go for 4? Bring it.
Dak Prescott has thrown for 1,000 more yards than Aaron Rodgers. He has better numbers in virtually every statistic than Aaron Rodgers. Why is that? Where's Dak Prescott?
Bill Plaschke, bearing weight, just hijacked the question of the Ravens. Go ahead, Israel. If you want to talk about Dak, you can. What struck you from the Pro Bowl roster?
Well, I'm not sure people complaining about the Ravens are going to look at that list and even know what position LS is, much less name a better one during the season. Okay, so the complaining just seems kind of ridiculous. It's been the most entertaining team to watch in football. If you look back, I don't know how it's going to work out in the playoffs, but if you look back on the season, they will probably be the biggest story, and Lamar Jackson. Go ahead and celebrate that team. Like, we really care about Pro Bowl integrity at this point. It's all about for the payments and the incentives of the players.
Mm-hmm. KB?
Well, it is amazing. Long snappers getting in there. I don't know how you judge them other than getting the ball to the guy who's kicking. But you know what?
Yes, I think you just described it accurately.
I'm trying to figure out how more offensive linemen for the Ravens didn't make it, given how well they run the ball. They've got Pickard in there for as a fullback position, the two-way guy. So you know what? Good for them. But to answer Bill's question, maybe it's because Dak Prescott has thrown 11 interceptions, which is about as many as all the other quarterbacks selected for this Pro Bowl on that side have done combined. If you're going to talk about somebody who got overlooked, I would even throw Kirk Cousins out there for the season he's had, or maybe even Joey G out in San Francisco is at an excellent.
Well, Joey G or Jimmy G, whichever one you want to throw out there.
Jimmy G.
Frank Isola, can you start with Dak Prescott?
Oh, come on. I don't know what Bill's talking about. Aaron Rodgers, first of all, it's a little bit, it's going to be based on reputation. Look at the record of his team.
Okay, well, why?
Starting quarterback for a 7-7 team, Bill, in a terrible division. Why are you going to put, you're going to put him over Aaron Rodgers? You honestly believe that?
So you're basing this on team's win total when you're.
A little bit. Yes, that should have something to do with it. Absolutely. Why not? Mm-hmm.
Cowboys, Packers, Rodgers, Prescott on a neutral field. Cowboys win that game. And everybody on this panel knows that.
I don't think anybody in the world knows what the Cowboys are going to do.
They couldn't beat the Jets at the Meadowlands.
I appreciate the spirit and vigor you have here, but I'm not sure if anybody knows anything about it. Okay, Isola, since you argued for Aaron Rodgers getting a legacy spot here, what about Tom Brady?
Yeah. About Brady?
I think when you look at the court, well, hang on a second. I think when you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC, Lamar Jackson is a definite. Yeah. Deshaun Watson is a definite. And then Patrick Mahomes. So I think there are three better
quarterbacks. I thought.
Aaron Rodgers is having a better season than Dak Prescott. That's why he's on. Stop.
Answer the Tom Brady question.
I'd love to know what stats you're looking at in addition.
What are you going to tell me next? Drew Brees is better than Dan Marino?
Empty stats.
Where's that coming from?
Yes.
Listen to Isola. He wasn't on yesterday's show, and he had hot takes for yesterday's show. He wanted the Drew Brees hot take. All right, we're taking a break right here. Buyer sell is on the other side. We might not have time to talk about this today, but I want some more hot takes on Kevin Garnett talking about breaking LeBron and the NBA agendas. Go ahead, Frank Isola.
He's really broken. That was the game where he had 45 points and 15 rebounds.
Say that again, Frank. Say that again.
And like he's talking about Game 6 when he had 45 points and 15 rebounds. By the way, I think LeBron won more titles in the decade.
All right, commercial break me. Let's go.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
It's our philosophy. I don't know what theirs are. You know, I think theirs is whatever LeBron says it is. I like what we're doing. I think it's the smart thing to do. And, you know, who knows? We'll see at the end.
Bill Plaschke, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Buy or sell Doc.
Doc's taking a shot at LeBron. Well, guess what, Doc, talking about? You don't know whose philosophy it is. Guess whose philosophy the Clippers is? It's Kawhi's philosophy. It's whatever he says it is. So you got the same issues the Lakers do. Kettle calling the pot black.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, and I think if you listen to Doc and watch him there, you realize he's saying, yeah, you know, this is the philosophy we're going with, and we'll see how it works. I don't think he's in love with it. He's an old-school guy, probably wants Kawhi to play every single game, but he's got to support his guy.
Blackstone.
Absolutely, but you know what? It works. We saw it work last year, it's working this year, and it's going to work in the future. Thank you very much, Greg Popovich.
And Frank Isola.
I like the way that LeBron handled it because he didn't mention Kawhi by name. Doc had to come and call out LeBron. And come on now. In Toronto, Kawhi called the shots. He's calling the shots, like Bill said, in L.A. He decides when he's going to play. Yeah.
Well, it worked. I mean, it's a full sample set of a season and led to a championship.
It didn't work for Joel Embiid.
Didn't work for Joel Embiid, although he's still playing today. I mean, it could have been Greg Oden at some point. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Dak limited in practice today. Throwing shoulder. Which happened versus the Rams Sunday on this Clay Matthews hit. He had an MRI. Everything seems to be okay, Jason Garrett said. But then he said, quote, he just banged it up and it's hard for him to function right now. End quote. Okay, coach, thank you. Did not throw, did not jumping jack today. Buy or sell concern, Israel Gutierrez.
I mean, KB just blew my mind, by the way. Will load management be Greg Popovich's lasting legacy? That's interesting. No, I'm super careful with Dak Prescott here. When you talk about the shoulder, the throwing shoulder, mind you, and Tony couldn't do jumping jacks, hard for him to function. I mean, come on. Like, you have to be super careful with him.
Kevin Blackstone?
Absolutely, because they can't afford to lose a game, right? I mean, they are in it to win it right now, and they need this guy who we talked about earlier this year, whether or not he was the most important player other than Zeke Elliott on this team. Well, right now, he is the most important player if he's hurt.
Right, guys, Sola.
Perfect example of why when you're a running quarterback, these things could happen. I don't think Dak should be in the Pro Bowl ahead of Aaron Rodgers, but I'll say this about him.
Oh, here we go.
He'll be out there on Sunday. But the game, remember, though, the game is outdoors, so that could have a factor on with his shoulder in terms of accuracy.
Go Plaschke.
Frank, I already won that argument. Stop bringing it up. Dak should be in Pro Bowl. Case closed on that one, Pat. No. This is trouble. This is big trouble for the Cowboys because Zeke has not been Zeke this year, and they're going to need Zeke to win this game, it looks like, and that's real dicey. I think they should worry very, very much.
Buy or sell three. Let's talk about the Yankees introducing Gerrit Cole today. Cole in their stocking. Clean shaven, slick, and with the same sign, they say, Cole held up as an 11-year-old fan 18 years ago. You believe that, Kevin Blackstone?
No, it's not even the same. It's not the same poster. One's in gold, one's in blue. What are you talking about? Where was this found? What was it, in a garage or something? Some light got in and faded the blue to yellow? Stop it.
You're not buying that. Frank Isola, are you?
It's like that Academy Award dress. I'm seeing blue. I'm not seeing yellow. But I cannot help but think of Carl Pavano, the last big number 45 that the Yankees brought in, threw a lot of money at. Let's hope that Gerrit Cole has a better run in New York
Plaschke
than Carl Pavano.
Scott Boras has done a lot of great things for Gerrit Cole. This is not one of them. This is obviously Boras' idea. He obviously did this because there's no 11-year-old draws a sign that neatly, and then no 11-year-old keeps it for that long. Y'all seen signs all
the reporting is from the Yes Network that it was in the parents' house, that it was tucked away.
He's jealous.
It's faded through the years, and Dad brought it to dinner.
He's not a Dodger.
Israel Gutierrez, are you buying
it? Not a Dodger.
Tony, you think the Yankees brass, the ones negotiating the deal, were probably thinking to themselves, man, if I would have seen that picture of a young Gerrit Cole, maybe we wouldn't have to pay him $324 million.
I am with you. Exactly, Andrew Gutierrez. Knock off $100 million if you've always wanted to be a Yankee fan and a Yankee player. I'm with you 100%.
Steiner Sports is selling that right now.
It is the mutual adoration. All right, Kevin Blackstone, Frank, I told this is now a no-show job for you, right? We've got a showdown for Bill Plaschke and Israel Gutierrez, where we hope the energy matches the darts energy. We hope it matches the energy of this story we're doing on darts. Next. Look at this.
Darts.
Look at this. It is the best televised sport around. We're all missing out here. What were we doing? We were doing poker for the last 2 decades? We were doing esports? Look at darts!
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Bill Plaschke, Israel Gutierrez. For the second time this season, lacrosse goal from Andrei Svechnikov. His teammates are calling it the Svechnikov. Are two goals enough for all lacrosse goals from this day forward to be named the Svechnikov? Israel?
Well, I mean, the NHL says nobody else has done this before, and he's done it twice now. Really hard to catch on, though, if you can't actually say it easily, though.
The move was originated by a Michigan player named Mike Legg in 1996. Woo! Call it the leg lift. The Woo! Leg lift.
I always called it the Michigan because I remember it being from Michigan. Good research, Bill Plaschke. We'll move on. Show that, too. The Buffalo Art Museum. Yes. Hanging that framed photo of the tweet of the photo of the Josh Allen selfie with the Bills Mafia. Bill, is this art?
Absolutely, it's art. I saw it in 25-degree temperatures at 2 o'clock in the morning after a regular season game. All those fans, that quarterback, it was art.
I mean, it's not quite a banana duct tape to a wall, but it's pretty nice. I'll take the selfie wing of a photography museum, of course, is a different kind of
art. One of my favorite Twitter handles is this art. I think we would all agree this is art. We'll move on. Showdown 3, Darts World Championship. Get excited.
Darren Sherrod smashes the glass ceiling and wins at the World Darts Championship. The first
Look at this.
To beat a man at the World Darts Championship.
I mean, so that's an incredible headline. And then look at the celebration here. I mean, is... possible? Is it possible darts is the best TV sport ever, Israel?
Well, it's the best sport to experience in person. That wasn't even a championship. That was just a match. And they are going nuts.
Great TV sport, but I can't get over the fact that of 96 spots in that tournament, only two are allowed for women. Women aren't allowed equality in that thing. How come it did this glass ceiling? They created the glass ceiling. Shame on them.
Incredible. Fallon Sherrick. Okay, she won that first round match, first time ever. She won more money winning that match than she would had she won the entire women's bracket. Mm. Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Great showdown win today. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I want to address, there's a raging argument in L.A. right now. Who would win a two-on-two game? Shaq and Kobe versus AD and LeBron. The answer is easy. Obviously, AD would move around Shaq, finesse Shaq. LeBron would push around Kobe. But there's no way Kobe Bryant's going to lose that game. There is no way in hell Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, they won three titles and they hated each other. So throw out all the physical and all the matchups. Kobe wins that and Shaq win that easily.
I want everybody's weighing in here. Israel, who you got in that matchup?
I refuse to argue.
Blackstone?
I refuse to. Ron and AD.
Isola?
Magic and Kareem.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.